God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Paul says, cast down these imaginations and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You're a child of God, but you are not immune to ungodly thoughts. You're standing there praising God. You're worshiping God. You're in church worshiping God. Spirit of God is moving like crazy. I mean, just moving and flowing, and people are being healed and delivered, and someone comes down for prayer, and you're a man. And you're standing there, and this person has a form-fitting dress on. And you just finished speaking in tongues and talking to God in a way that you've never spoken to him before. And all of a sudden, when you open your eyes, you see this hourglass figure standing in front of you, and you know she's from Georgia. You just look, and you know. And all of a sudden, your mind, your Holy Ghost-filled, sanctified, Spirit-directed mind begins to imagine things you should not imagine. Now, this is the caveat, the thing you have to be aware of. If you don't arrest that thought then and say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you, I cast this down. Make sure you say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you and not you. Satan, the Lord rebukes you. I cast this down in Jesus' name. If you don't do that, that seed will burn into your mind, and you'll walk out this church, and every time you see that person, you'll imagine them in ways that you should not imagine them. So Paul said, cast it down. See, we have to stop thinking that just because we're spirit-directed, we don't have that problem. Or else Jesus would never have said, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've already committed the adultery. And now the same holds true to the women. Women look at a man who, you know, who's very attractive and in a very powerful position, a policeman, a politician, a physician, or a pastor, and look at that person, because P positions tend to cause women to swoon because there's a lot of protection that goes with those positions, and women, no matter how liberated you are, you still feel the need to be protected. I don't care how liberated you are, you still have that need. God made you with that. And so you may find someone and you look at them and you begin to think about them in ways that are not as sexual as a man. You think more relational and protection and more relational involvement. The man just thinks of knocking boots and the woman thinks more of care and commitment, but there's still a lust that's involved. This is why so many pastors find themselves susceptible to falling, because it doesn't start out with the woman saying, I want to sleep with you. It starts out with, I really admire how you make me feel. You know, you I've never had a father. You make me feel like, you know, I matter, and you treat me, you know, with such care. And then that man, you're lifting up his ego. Satan is starting to speak to him. His ego is being lifted. You've created an environment where he feels needed. His wife doesn't create that environment anymore, so she creates it, and then he's drawn to that. He doesn't just fall into the bed. It starts with the mental application of care. Then you start bringing him food. Food caused the fall. It was a piece of fruit. I'm telling you, we would not have been in this position if God had told the man, you can eat of every tree in this garden, but that broccoli plant, don't touch it. We wouldn't be sinners today, because broccoli is not worth losing your soul over, unless you got some melted cheese. Then Paul says, every thought, mental devices, and this is the key component here. This is not what you think. This is how you think. The enemy can convince you that somebody's trying to hold you down. That creates anger. The enemy can convince you that someone's trying to throw you under the bus. The enemy can convince you that someone is trying to fight against you, and that person's not even thinking in that way. You can think that someone is speaking against you. You can think, Pastor Lambert's talking about me. No, he's not. He doesn't even know you're here. But if the word of God does hit you where you are, then all you can do is say, ouch, and help me, Lord. We will walk out of this service rejoicing in what our praise team brought to us, rejoicing in the legitimacy of the word of God. And between here and your car, the enemy will sit on your shoulder and give you something to argue about. Maybe it was an announcement that you didn't like. Why's he got to get on there and try to tell us to come to Bible study? I'm sick of hearing about all this. Why they play those announcements all the time? Why the praise team? Why can't we do something different? Christmas is over. Why can't we get rid of them red plants? So here he is. Every thought, everything that comes to the person's mind, cast it down. Get rid of it. This verse suggests that you have the power, hear me, to regulate your thoughts. You don't need to think in negative situations anymore. You don't need to think negatively anymore. You don't need to think about negative responses. Say, well, how do I know how I'm thinking? Go to Mark chapter 11. How do I know how I'm thinking? In Mark chapter 11, verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt it in his heart / mind, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. The more I research this passage and research the word of God pertaining to this thing, I am convinced that God gave us speech to create the environment with which we live. Speak negatively, you have negative results. Speak positively, you have positive results. But there are people, listen carefully, God has a way of getting us where we don't want to be and then using people to push you where you don't want to be, to teach you what you need to know. All right. So my daughter is very outgoing. Okay. She's very outgoing. I'm an introvert. She's the antithesis of me. She's her mother. So they push me where I don't want to be. So my daughter shanghais me to go to Hershey. I don't want to go. I'm fighting it all the way. But she has a way of convincing her father. So she convinces her father to go to Hershey. I go to Hershey with them. We walk through the chocolate house where you take that little car ride. Now, while I'm in there learning about the production of chocolate, they have all these signs on the wall that talk about Milton Hershey and what he did with his fortune. I'm reading these signs and going through this tour, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God gives me vision that he would not have given me had I not gone to Hershey. I come off the ride ready to project Bethel Deliverance International Church into the same mold and concept that Milton Hershey did with chocolate bar. And God says to me while I'm in the line, why can't my people see this far? You can't get vision hanging around people on the same level that you're in. Why? Your mind expands when you're exposed to greater vision. Now, I didn't thank my daughter yet because I don't want her to get, you know, womanish and think she can tell her dad what to do. She's been doing it all her life. But I was extremely thankful for that because it pushed me into a different realm to see what's possible. What did God do? God changed my mindset from the limitations of my level to the expectation of my sight. What does that do? Changes my words. Now I can do this. How does a man without God build a whole community around a chocolate bar? And we are filled with God, all the power of the kingdom of heaven, and we can't move a toothpick across the room. Because Jesus said, you have what you say. We have spent so much time arguing doctrine. This is what the Lord said to me. He said, we have spent so much time arguing doctrine that we really have no results. All we produce is a group of people who have graduated from school with degrees in things that they can't use them in. How are you going to spend 4 years in college and take liberal arts? To do what? To be what? We have people who have come through years of Bible study and can't do anything but study more and get more doctrine. And the Lord says all they want to do is argue. That's all they want to do is argue. They just want to put down your doctrine. They just want to be able to argue. And so now the church has shifted towards fighting denominations. I told you that man called me up. He wanted to argue about tithing. And he, you know, he gets on radio and television and talks about me. And I don't care. You know, I thank God for the free advertisement. And he talks about me, and he talks about me, and he talks about me. And so one day he called up. He came up here to see me. And he sat down in my office, and I said, "Brother, how you doing? I want to talk about tithing, because you preach tithing." And I listened to him put his points out on the table. And when he was done, I said, "Man of God, listen to me." I said, "There are three people dying every 2 seconds in the United States of America." I said, "And of the three, two are going to hell." I said, "There are 90 people every minute slipping into eternity. And why should we sit here and argue about tithing when we should be taking the gospel to those people and letting them know that Jesus is the answer?" He didn't have an answer. He became angry. See, we spend too much time fighting this. Paul didn't do that. Paul argued one time with the philosophers in the book of Acts. After that, Paul just presented Christ. All we're doing is just showing how smart we are. The saints of God need to learn God. Now, I need you to get with me because I need you to understand this. We teach the word of God. We want you to study the word of God so that you may know God. Not so you can argue with people. Not so you can win Bible trivia. It's not about all that external stuff. We're not trying to get you to become, you know, some great theologians. Yes, that's necessary. But at the end, you have to know God. That's why we find so many people writing theological books and then wind up living lives that are reprehensible because they know theology, but they don't know God. I want you to know God. After you've written about the Holy Ghost, do you show the fruit of the Spirit? After you've talked about the gifts, can you lay hands on the sick? After you told people about Jesus, is he the Lord of your life? Or as Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 13, after you've done the tongues of men and of angels, do you show love?
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
12415A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Bishop Lambert's newly published book, The Christian and the Culture, is now available for purchase at Amazon.com and ChristianandTheCulture.com. You can buy your book online or join Bishop Lambert for a special book signing on Wednesday, February 10th at 7 p.m. at Lighthouse of Deliverance Gospel Church, located at 365 Blackwood Clementon Road in Lindenwall, New Jersey. God is calling Christians to a higher level of spiritual awareness. The Christian and the Culture is a valuable resource for overcoming the tricks of the enemy. Be sure to get your copy of this life-changing book and learn how to become a conqueror through Christ Jesus. For more information, call 215-885-2585.